The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
We've got Alicia sharing this morning. Alicia is one of our C2C partners. She's working in Thailand, and she's got an awesome story that she's going to share with us now.
Thanks. It's so good to be back with you guys and be with my family. I feel like even though I live far, far away now, I think of you guys often, and I'm very thankful for the part of my story, which I'm going to share today, that you guys have all been a part of. And never take it for granted how much prayer and encouragement and love that I receive from this incredible church family. So thanks for giving me the privilege of being here today and being able to share. You'll see some photos just probably rolling behind me as I speak. So if you miss them, don't worry, they'll come back again. So you can take some time to take them in. But today I want to share with you just something of my story, but actually some of the stories of my neighbours. And one of the gifts I have learnt about living in the slum has been to know the gift of story. Each of us have our own story. We're each created unique, and we all fit into this much bigger story that sometimes we don't understand. Some of us may think our story is insignificant, but I'm here to tell you today, actually, it's not. Each of us were made with our story for a reason, and this greater story that God is writing wouldn't be the same if it was just a bunch of people thrown in and a bit of plants and a bit of nature. Actually, He designed it. He designed it this way so that we would all be a part of something incredible. Sometimes, like I said, we don't always see it, but God does, thankfully. I was reflecting on Anzac Day just this week, but as I was, one of my teammates sent me a message, and it made me really sad. One of my neighbours died this week, and that's really hard to not be there, to not be able to be with my family, my Thai family, and to be able to hug them, and even though Thais are not big on hugs, but we're breaking that slowly, creating a new culture. But as I was sitting there, I just thought of all of the unsung heroes that we have seen and heard about this week. They each had a story themselves, and sometimes we haven't heard those stories until recently through journals and things, but Lung Dor, who is my next door neighbour, who I will be sadly not be able to see when I go back, his story is one of an unsung hero, and one that no one is going to see plastered on a billboard or in a book or in any movie of any kind. But his story will always live on in those that have been around. And so as a tribute to him today, I was saying to Pete earlier today, you can take the leader out of kids ministry, but you can't take the kid out of the leader. So today, bear with me, I have a few props. And I'm going to wear this one in honour of Lung Dor today. It'll make sense in a minute, don't worry. He's quite a quirky character. When I first moved into the slum, I thought, well, I don't know, he's a bit odd. Who is this guy? But God, as always, challenges me on my first opinions of people and things. And I started to get to know this guy and realise, actually, he's just an incredible person that I'm really blessed to know. But one of my first memories is, I think it was probably my second or third day in the slum. No tie. What the heck is this place? What have I done? And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, this guy comes to the door, and he just starts chatting on in Thai. And I'm like, there's no one else here. What am I supposed to do? So I just stood there, and I'm like smiling and nodding and hoping that I'm not smiling and nodding at the wrong things, and he's telling me something sad, but hoping for the best. But it started something for me of, I thought, this guy's a bit strange, but I'd like to get to know him. And over time, I've got to know him. But one of the things is I often sit on my couch, you know, at night when it's been a big day and you're just kind of chilling out and the door's open. And I was sitting there with Camille, my teammate, one day, and all of a sudden I see this walking past the door. I thought, hold on a second, who is that? And I looked, and it was Lung Dor wearing a hard hat. Now, I'm not about you, but at 10 o'clock at night, when you're sitting watching TV, don't expect someone to walk past your door with a hard hat on. And I was thinking, why? I just lost it laughing. I thought, this is the most bizarre thing. We see some pretty bizarre things in the slum, but that is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. And Camille and I were just laughing about it, but it was raining. And in Thailand, most of our neighbours believe when it rains, you get really sick if you don't put something on your head. So normally that means a plastic bag or a raincoat or an umbrella. But no, Lung Dor thought, right, I know what I'll use, a hard hat. Of all the things. But the funniest thing is about it, he doesn't just have one. Some days you'll be walking past and you'll think, oh, there's an orange one today. 2 weeks ago. It was a yellow one. It just depends on the day. He wears a different hard hat. So this is my little tribute to Lung Door today, and as a way to remind me. And as I was thinking about his story, I thought, there is something about this man. I don't know why, but he has become the adopted dad in the neighbourhood. He doesn't have kids of his own, or I think he has one son who's estranged, but in the neighbourhood, he's kind of just this character who nods along and tells me I need to fix this on my house or do that on my house, or tells me off if I come home late, or shines the torch so I can get into my house and open the keys. But he has taken in a lot of the kids in the neighbourhood and adopted them as his own. And I thought, why would someone who's just, you know, just a someone in the neighbourhood, why would he do that? He's part of a much bigger, bigger story. There is something about this guy. And I just couldn't believe that one of our neighbours went to prison a couple of years ago early on. You might have heard me speak about her before, and you'll hear a bit more about her later. But he took in her little girl, and her dad was still around, but he was working a lot, and so he didn't really always have someone to take care of her. And he just, without even thinking, said, all right, I'll look after her. And he sacrificed so much for this little girl to have a safe place while her mum was in jail. And he watched out for her and the other kids, and her mum, who was in jail, calls him dad because her dad had abandoned her at a young age and isn't really present in her life. But this is the only dad she knew. And I just thought, why would someone, how does someone do that? How do they come to be in this place of family? But that's one thing, that's a gift I've seen in our summers. He's become a grandpa to me. He's probably more like my dad's age, but he feels more like a grandpa just because he's kind of that different role in my life. And I'm really sad that when I go back, that's not going to be there. He's not going to be there. I'm not going to see him clinking his keys as he walked past the door wearing a random hard hat on a rainy day. But I'm very thankful for his story and what that's taught me. I've seen Jesus through him. He may not have acknowledged Jesus in his life. I hope that he did at some point. But I have seen Jesus through him, and so I know that I will continue to wear this hard hat, maybe not out of this room, but I'll wear this hard hat, and I will remember that my story has forever been changed because of his story. He now becomes a part of my story, and this hat carries with me into this bigger story that is God's story in our life. As I was reflecting on this, I was just reading in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 12, if anyone wants to follow along in the message. And this is where I want to share from today. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What a pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments, chalked up by all of our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything. He provided for everything we could possibly ever need, letting us in on the plans that he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven and everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find who we are and what we are living for. Long before we heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. I don't know about you, but when I hear that story, it encourages me. I think my story is just one small part of something far bigger that God had planned out. And I love the line in there that says about we've been adopted into the family of Christ. And he made this world with us in mind. Our story matters to him. So I have another story I'd like to share with you today. And this is my symbol for this one. Some of you know that last year I became a foster parent. And I think, as I've shared before, as a 31-year-old single woman, didn't quite think that's how my parenting career would begin. But God had other plans, and thankfully he knows better than me. Amazingly enough, he was just up on the screen then. But these shoes remind me of Tan, and this is part of his story. I can't fit them on my feet because, unfortunately, they're a bit small. But I'm going to place them up here because wherever I go, he goes with me. even though he's not here. And I don't always understand what God's plan is or how it plays out. But for me, I've noticed that when I open myself up to God and to what his story is, he changes me and he surprises me with incredible things. And Tan has been with us now for 8 months, I think it must be. And parenting a pre-programmed 10-year-old is not easy. And those of you who are parents out there today, I take my hat off to you. It's not an easy job. But something that God has taught me so much about who he is through, when I think about God's love and I think about how much I love this kid who's not even, I didn't even give birth to him, but he's become part of my family. I'm blown away how God could love us that much, that he would want to make sure that we are a part of his story, that he would want to know every little detail about me, just like I want to know every little detail about Tan. And I am learning that he has a story, and while his story has been one of survival, the amazing thing for me has been watching his story change from one of survival and survival of the fittest to someone who's now finding life. And he has struggled all the way along. I think I shared last year, we had him only about 3 weeks, he had only been to school for 48 days out of 90-something, but he missed 52. And this term, I'm proud to announce, we managed to get him to school 93 days out of 96. So he's only missed 3 days and he was sick. I feel like, phew, it was worth it for even just that on his report card. He's also, according to his school report card, he's grown 4 centimetres and put on 3 kilos. So I'm not sure, we don't really have that in Australia, but in Thailand that's a really important fact to have on your report card. And one of the things that I have struggled with is trying to see the bigger picture. I think, are we doing anything? Are we able to do anything for this kid? Am I damaging this kid? Am I, you know, all the things. I think as a parent, you probably ask those questions of yourself. How do I raise this child? And I want to do the best for them. And through that, God's just allowed me to say, actually listen to his story, know his mum's story, know who he is, and that will guide you. That will show you how to help him rewrite, how to help him write his own story. Because I think that's one lesson I'm learning as a parent is you can try and put all the things in the places that you want and shape a child, but actually it's their job to write their own story. God has got a story for them and they are discovering what that story is as you go. It's not easy. I take my hat off to you, those of you who've done it a lot longer than me. But as he goes and the meltdowns and the tantrums and just showing love have kind of simmered down. He's still a fun kid to manage sometimes, but things are changing, and school for him has been one of the biggest deals. It used to be a place he hated to go because he didn't want to get caught out and people to find out that actually he had just been bluffing his way through, that he didn't want to do anything. If he didn't do anything, it was easier because he could just blame it on, well, I didn't do it, so I don't know what the result is. But his biggest fear in life is failure. And he knows that if he protects, his protection mechanism is, if I don't even try, then no one's going to know how bad I was. And actually, he's not that bad, but that's the mentality that he has. And so we were leading up to exam week. I just felt that it was a time I needed to sit down with Tan and just, you know, you can show all the things that we've been doing, but for a little kid, for a 10-year-old, sometimes you actually have to say the things that you think. And I sat there and I said to him, Tan, you know that no matter, he was starting to get stressed about his exams, I said, no matter what happens this week, you know that we love you. It doesn't matter whether you pass or you fail. It doesn't matter if you only write 2 sentences. We will still love you and we'll still be here and we'll face this challenge as we come. And to go from year 3 to year 4 in Thailand is a big deal, which is what he had to pass everything to be able to go. And he's already been put down a grade because he was behind when we moved him from another school. And so this challenge of how are we going to do this? And I'm praying hard, thinking, God, please don't let this be a disaster. Please let him please let him do it. And he's worked so hard. He's done homework and 3 hours of homework a day. Thai schools are very, you've got to learn this, and it's all rote learning. So he's, you know, for a kid who's behind, he's got to try and catch up all the time. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm learning a lot about Thai, let's put it that way. And I'm thankful for all the neighbours we have around us who can help us with homework, because I'm not very good at it some days. But as he came to his exams, he came home the first day and I said, how was it? And he goes, well, I wrote 3 sentences. I was like, yes. Now, to some of you, that might not seem like very much, but on one of his exams, he has to write 9 sentences. And those sentences are things you have to memorize and be able to remember the story. And we'd worked on it that week. And for some people, you might think, but he missed 6 sentences. He didn't get the 9. But to me, I'm like, he wrote three sentences. Last time he did this same, well, not the same exam, a different exam in the same subject, he wrote nothing because he was too scared to even try. And so when he came home and we went out for ice cream, because I thought, this is something to celebrate. This is pretty amazing that he's written three sentences, and he was so proud. And I said, see, imagine next time you might be able to write four sentences. And what happens after that? You know, just seeing what his story is starting to develop. He's starting to realize, oh, maybe I'm not who I thought I was. Maybe there's something more in me. There's someone else here. And I'm just so blown away by watching him grow. And he went to get his report card, and I was sick that day, so I couldn't go, and my teammate went with him, and I was praying very hard that day, hoping that we would have good results. And he goes into the classroom, and he picks up his card, and my teammate said the look on his face was hilarious. He just kind of bright-eyed, big eyes, and then just went, yes! He was so excited that he'd passed, because he got 50% for everything, but that was enough for him to move on, and for him to go into year four. And I just thought, God, I'm so thankful that you know more than I do, that you know these things. You've already written this story. You've written Tan's story, and you're helping us be a part of that. And I'm so, so excited that when we were sitting down on the couch just a couple of weeks ago with him too, about Easter time, he's asking me these really tricky questions. I don't know, as parents, if you've had some of those tricky questions you're not sure how to answer. But he's sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden he's looking at the little kids' Bible we have, and he just turns to me and he says, why did you move here? I was like, well, 8 o'clock at night and you're about to go to bed in 20 minutes. Which story, which version shall I give you tonight? I thought, gosh, what a big question to ask. But it was such a privilege to be able to share with him my story and some of who I have become, and, you know, my family and all the things coming from here, all those things that have shaped me to where I am and why I would move to the slum, and talking about who God is in my life and just this bigger story that I'm a part of and that God's shaping me into. And he just kind of was looking at me. He's like, do you think God would like me? You think God, what about my story? He just started asking these big questions. I'm thinking, how do you answer that? I think God is there for you. God is, you know, just talking about the character of God. And I just thought, here is this 10-year-old who is starting to open up his mind to what this world is, to start to see the bigger story of who God is in his life. And it's just so exciting to see how God's story is intertwined with ours. And as my story and his story become intertwined, it creates this bigger picture of what God is doing and of what God has created and what God has planned for us. In verses 7 to 10, it talks a lot about freedom and, you know, this incredible picture of Christ and the freedom that he's given us to live out our stories, each and every one of us. And so I'd like to share another story with you. I'm going to add a bit more to the outfit. And some of you have heard me share a bit about Munja Cafe, which is a cafe that I'm a part of, that was able to help start. And this has been an incredible place of learning who people's stories are, who they are and who God has created them to be. But seeing that the story somewhere along the line has got broken, or someone has said, your story's not important, you don't matter, we don't want to know about your story. And so I've just been blown away at our staff and the way that we've seen them grow. It's only been going for 2 years or just over, and we're still working our way towards breaking even point. But what I've seen is God has totally blown everything out of the water. The expectations I had, the things I thought it would do for people, God just blew me away. He has taken people who think they're worth nothing and helped them realize they have a story, they have something to offer. And I shared a little bit about maybe Pime, our kitchen manager, a while ago, but she's no longer working for us. But what's been incredible is watching her story. And there was some tricky stuff. We saw her grow really incredibly in the first year, and the second year she started to sort of plateau, and we just saw that it was not really a great fit for her, and started to create problems with a few other people, and just wasn't working out. And so we kind of did the countercultural thing and actually went straight to her and talked to her about it, which in Thailand you normally just kind of have to go around here and over here somewhere and back over here and then try and get to the point. But actually we decided, no, we wanted to, out of love for her, we wanted to talk to her about this, and we wanted to give her the opportunity to share with us. And it didn't go down so well, as often sometimes conflict doesn't. And in the end she quit. And I thought, God, have we stuffed this one up? What have we done? what am I doing? And maybe you know, started to doubt and all those things that come up. But over time, God just kind of kept laying on my heart and said, you aren't in control. You are not the writer of this story. Just because, you know, you've been given something incredible and you're living here doesn't mean that you have control over what happens. And he just reminded me that actually he has written this incredible story. I'm just privileged to be a part of it and to help people discover their story. And so anyway, he just said, pray. Just pray for her. So I'm thinking, yeah, that's good. And I'm praying, and you know, a few weeks went by and I didn't get to see her, and I just was really sad about this relationship. She'd become like a sister to me, and now in the slum, because there's so many people, you just kind of disappear back into another number that you don't see. And anyway, I was praying for an opportunity that would come up where I'd actually be able to get to see her and encounter her. And one day, I was wandering down, as you do in the slum, there's lots of people, but I suddenly went, oh, there she is. And it was one of those moments where I wanted to just go up and give her a hug, but I thought, I better see where this, you know, if she wants to see me. So it was one of those moments, could go either way. I'm thinking, how do we go? And as I turned around, I was like, P-May. And she turned around, and I thought, uh-oh, she doesn't want to talk to me. And then she just gave me this big hug. And I thought, oh, thank you, God. I needed that today. And her story has changed. I was talking to her, I said, what's been going on? I haven't seen you, and I miss having you at the cafe. And she was sharing, and she just said, she goes, I've got a new job. And I was like, cool, where's your job? And she was telling me how she'd just Googled, and she found this job that was on offer at this incredible shopping center in Thailand, this brand new one that's coming up. And she just Googled, and they needed someone to work in like their cashiers and management stuff. Anyway, so she Googled and she used her experience at Manjai and she got the job. And I was just standing there and I just wanted to cry. And I thought, God, here is someone who, when we started the cafe, thought she was worth absolutely nothing and couldn't even look me in the eye because she didn't think she was worthy. And now she's talking to me like she's my sister and she's telling me about her life and how it's changed. And she just said, you know what, if it wasn't for Manjai, I wouldn't be able to have taken that job. She goes, I didn't even know how to use a computer 2 years ago, and here I am Googling, and I was able to find this. And I just thought, God, how crazy is it that God intertwines and he knows our story before we've even imagined what it could look like. And her story is now one of a job where she's earning more than she did before. She's able to provide a family, but actually she realizes that she is worth something, not just in that slum, but actually in the bigger picture, in the world. She realizes that most people had said she's just going to be one of those people. She will live, breathe, die in the slum. But she's not. She's now someone who's able to lead other people. She's telling people about this world that's out there, this incredible gift that she's been given. And, you know, she hasn't acknowledged necessarily that Jesus is in her life, but I've seen him. I've seen the face of Jesus in her every step of the way. And, you know, we've prayed together. We've walked alongside, discipled her, and I just love seeing who God is in her life and how he is slowly bubbling to the surface of this incredible story that he has written into her life. I'll share one more story with you, but just in verses 11 and 12, I love how it says we find out who we are and what we're living for in Christ. And that for me has been my experience moving to the slum. I've kind of found this skin that I didn't know I could have. I didn't know how God had made me that way, but I found life moving there. But more than that, I found neighbours who I've seen just incredible things happen in their life. And so this is the last element I will add. And some of you have seen many of the jewellery and different things that we've made over time. But when I talked to you earlier about this this lady, one of my neighbours who went to prison, and she is now working for our handicraft project that we help run. And some of you might know it as Klong Toi Handicrafts. We've actually just changed it slightly because we felt like somewhere along the way, the story and the message of what it was got lost. And some of the neighbours we were working with who were in charge of it didn't quite want to take it the same direction. And so we've been able to gift it back to them, and they are continuing to run their own project. But with those that we had, we've started to go back to those who are the least of these, those who are the most forgotten in our neighbourhoods. And she is one of these. She's kind of another person who people will just write off when they see her. But actually, this handicraft has become something that's given her life. And we actually have, the name is now called Roy Ruck, and their line is bringing love, beating love, and being love. An entire ruck means love, and Roy means to bead. And it's kind of like we're threading the love through. And it's just been incredible watch her. She sits, actually, her picture is up there. She's making jewelry. As she makes jewelry out the front of my house, it's been really fun just to sit around and chat. And when she first came, all she wanted to do was, she's like, I just need work because I don't want to go back to jail. I don't want to have that experience again. But we've seen her blossom into this incredible person who now would be, in the past, would have been a person who would just keep everything for herself and wanted to hold on and live by day. But actually now she's opening herself up. And that's because of the love of what Christ is doing, not only in her life, but those people around her who are showing her that there is so much life out there. And she cares for her little girl and her sister, and she's now caring for her nephew who's also been abandoned, because she knows what it's like. She knows her part of her story has been that abandonment, and she's had Lung Do, who has given her the love of a dad like she could never have imagined. And I love that from beginning to end, our stories are interwoven. God is weaving them together, and her story wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for this man who had given her love and shown her care. And I think that's the gift of this, is none of these stories are just individual stories. They look like they're individual stories on the outside, but actually it's where our stories connect. It's where our stories meet. It's where we meet Jesus and where we see this bigger picture of who God is and what he's doing in our lives. And I'm going to add this here because I can't put them on my feet, but at least this way Tan can be with me. And I love that our story may look a little bit riggedy raggedy. It's not the most, you know, picturesque kind of story, but actually as each person that I've encountered, as each person that God has given me in my life, this is now not just each individual story. This is part of my story. Their stories have impacted, have intertwined and made my life different. My life is now a bigger story. I'm realizing that I'm part of a greater story. And actually, this story doesn't just represent their stories. Actually, if I do this, I realize this is part of a massive story. This is the story of Jesus. These people are all part of this story that God has created in the world for us. And I might just see one person wearing a crazy hard hat, or, you know, Tan wearing his fun little shoes. But actually, God sees this. God sees that he has done incredible things for us. He has sacrificed everything. And his story is so much bigger than we could imagine. And I love that each and every one of our stories fits into this, fits into the cross. It fits into who God has made us to be. And I want to challenge you guys. I want to encourage you to know that each and every one of you, not just my neighbors, not just me, each and every one of you has a story. And God wants us to share our stories. It's as we share our stories, as we live our stories, no matter where we are, no matter who we are, no matter what we do. It's not about what we do, it's about who we are. And God created us. God made us unique. He gave us a story for a reason. And that's all he asks us to do, is to live our story wherever we are and to see where that story fits into this incredible story, the story of God, that I hope one day in our neighborhood we can say all of our neighbors have come to know this story, that their stories have made up the story of the cross in that place. And I'm so thankful. And I just want to leave you with that today. I want to challenge you to think about your story, to think about who God's made you to be. And don't ever forget that. Use that and walk in the way and see this incredible picture of who God has made you to be, and also this world. It's not about us. It's about what he's doing in this place. So thanks heaps for letting me share today. And I just would love to pray with you guys as we finish. Lord, I'm so thankful to you and to who you've made us all to be. Lord, you designed each and every one of us. You know us. You know us inside and out. Each of our stories is significant, even if we don't realize it. And you have asked us, you've called us into this bigger picture, this incredible story that you are writing and weaving through our lives. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to use us and challenge us and grow us as we seek to see your story unveiled on this earth. To see the bigger picture, to see this incredible story that you've given us lived out. And we thank you so much for the way you have written our stories and designed us. We pray that you will be with us this week as we go out, and that we will see stories. We will listen to other people's stories. We will know the stories.